Welcome everyone, Nate from Userlytics here, and on the podcast today we have a really exciting guest. As most of you know, or if you don't, GAD Day, Global Accessibility Awareness Day, is coming up shortly on May 15th, and so we wanted to bring in really an expert on accessibility, universal design, and so with us today from the Proficient team is Gulen Yilmaz, and I guess just a little bit of background on kind of who she is, right? A passionate, detail-oriented software, digital web, and native accessibility specialist. Try to say that three times fast. Deep expertise in Section 508 and WCAG compliance. Gulen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Nate. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for having me today. My name is Gulen. I am digital web and mobile accessibility specialist at Proficient. I have been working in this field over 4 years, and I help and review making websites and mobile applications easier for everyone to use, especially people with disabilities. And at Proficient, we work for most of the project in healthcare, education, and public service areas. And accessibility isn't just a bonus, so it's truly essential. And I am really excited to be here today to talk about Global Accessibility Awareness Day and mobile accessibility.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, we've seen an explosion of interest in accessibility, accessibility design, research, all of the above. And now is really a great time to talk about it, even though it's really something I think we should discuss all year round. But with GAD Day coming up, again, Global Accessibility Awareness Day, can you tell us just a little bit, you know, for those who aren't familiar with, you know, that day or special time or anything, just give us a little bit of background, you know, what is it and why is it important?
Sure. Yeah, Global Accessibility Awareness Day happens once a year on the third Thursday of May to help people learn about how accessibility importance and matters. So we have been celebrating, I think, 2012. So what happens on this day? Generally, people around the world, you know, share some tips, events, and stories about how to make websites and applications and the technologies easier to use for people with disabilities. It's really important because, you know, many people still don't know what disability is or how much does it impact in our daily life. So this day really helps and remind all of us, you know, digital tools should include everyone on web and mobile, right? So, you know, last year actually pretty inspiring because several, you know, schools, companies, and universities made remarkable efforts to, you know, promote digital accessibility and inclusion. I remember one school had a special assembly about how their, you know, students learn with their classmate with usual impairments. They're using just screen readers. These screen readers just help them listen to the, you know, library book on school laptops instead of the, you know, reading on the damn screen. So it helps everyone to understand how important accessibility in technology. And some companies also had a challenge last year to their workers. They just, you know, used the keyboard only mode, you know, on their websites. And that day, no mouse allowed. And this helped, you know, employees to see how hard it can be for people who can't use a mouse and why websites need to be easy to use for everyone. Also, I remember a few universities had some workshops for application and website developers, and they just showed how to write good image description and how to check if the colors on the websites are easy to use. So these all skills help and make websites, you know, more useful and for all people, you know, including those with vision problems. And these events, you know, help more people to use why accessibility matter in the real life. So this really helps everyone, right? So people can see how to, real life challenges and understand why accessibility is important to making, websites and applications. So GAD is, I think, just all about, thinking empathy and, just encouraging all of us to build a more inclusive digital world.
Yeah, I love those examples. And, I think that it's really important to be able to experience it, right? So to have empathy, right, you kind of have to understand the person's perspective, right? So being able to have people, let's say, no mouse day, right, or have to use a screen reader, right, kind of puts them in the driver's seat of someone with a disability. And I think it's a good point because I think that a lot of times when people think about accessibility, they think about people who have disabilities, right? But accessibility is really important for everyone, including those who don't have disabilities. Wondering if you could talk a little bit towards that and kind of this idea of universal design.
Yes, universal design means, creating things that are easy for everyone to use, no matter their disabilities or their age or situation. It's not just for people with disabilities. Universal design helps everyone else in daily life. So this is the, I think, main point. I can give a couple of examples about universal design and how it's cover also accessibility in, everyone's life. So for example, like closed captions, right, aren't just people for deaf or, hard of hearing users. We are also, using this one, watching some video in a noisy place or trying to do not disturb anyone. So also, the most common one is voice assistant like Siri or Alexa are great examples. So they were originally designed to assist people with limited mobility, but now most of us use them, right? So when our hands are full or when we are driving. So let's see, another example is elevators and touch-free, doors for everywhere. So they just help people using wheelchairs, but they also help parents pushing some strollers or someone carrying some groceries. So it's just a universal design, so universal design and accessibility go just hand in hand. Accessibility focus on removing some issues for people with disabilities, but universal design try to include everyone. We all benefit when things are flexible, simple, or useful, right?
I mean, I totally agree. I think the even the example of Siri, I think that's an interesting example because a lot of digital experiences are moving mobile nowadays, right? Mobile phones, like the networks are better, the devices are really fast, really, and I would say the user experience is really good for most, if not all of them. So as you know, the world moves more mobile. Talk to us a little bit about, maybe you could define kind of what is mobile accessibility and kind of maybe where it would be different and why it's so important today.
Sure. It's really matter, because I mentioned before, accessibility helps everyone, not just for disabled people. We don't need to have a disability to benefit from universal design. Sometimes we all face challenges, right? So like holding a sleeping baby, using one hand, just, or trying to, read in the sunlight or sending a text message. Sometimes we have like a temporary issues, like a broken arms or surgery, and most of the peoples in these days, especially the aging problem, right? Believe me or not, but 10,000 people turn 65 every single day in the United States, and it's a huge number. And I can say these are all moments that, accessible design makes a big difference. So when we build, applications and websites that are accessible, we are not, doing the right things. We are, I think, also creating some better user experience. So that's why accessibility is, especially mobile accessibility, is important because we all benefit.
Yeah, I love that as well. Now we do have a lot of designers, a lot of researchers, maybe product managers, right? A lot of those types of people that listen to the podcast. Wondering if you could share a little bit about how to test for mobile accessibility, maybe any kind of tools or criteria that you would recommend for people that are, they want to ensure that their apps are usable for everyone.
Sure. Mobile accessibility means making sure, mobile application can be used by everyone, right? Including people with disabilities. Like, what does that mean? It means like content should be easy to read or navigate and interact with, someone is using a screen reader or voice control or just has limited vision or hearing or mobility issues. So it's just also, designing for real life situations, as I mentioned before, like using your phone with one hand or reading something in bright sunlight. So, mobile accessibility is the primary way, right? I think it is especially important today because not everyone has a laptop, but almost everyone has a phone. So at Perficient, we think all about, accessibility at every step from the start to project. So we look at things like text size, colors, button shapes, and screen reader support. So in this way, no one is left out. So many people access digital services, like especially in healthcare, finance, or social platforms. For user with disabilities, so just mobile devices can be their maybe only way to interact with the digital world, right? So that's why mobile accessibility is really critical for this field.
All right, Gulen, let's take a step back. I think a lot of organizations, corporations out there are aware accessibility is important, something they need to focus on and kind of build into their process. But I would say a hard thing to do is kind of that first step. Maybe you could share, it would be helpful if you could share, I would say, just maybe some of the kind of basic accessibility standards that kind of many websites and apps just basically miss. And what are some of the common issues that you see, and even maybe specifically towards the mobile accessibility side?
Yes, unfortunately, many websites and applications still, miss some of the most basic accessibility, especially on mobile. Some of the most common issues I see during the testing time, text that is too small to read, so especially for older people or those low vision disabilities. Sometimes buttons that are too close to together or too small. So it's making it difficult for the user to touch, especially on, smaller screens or for people with motor challenges. I can give another example, maybe missing labels on form fields, which means, screen reader can announce and that information for the users not supported. So also, images, without description of alt text, user who are blind or using, screen readers miss out all the important content. So those are the most common, poor issues that I can see during the testing time, especially poor color contrast, so which affects user with low blindness and low vision. Even everyone, if use the mobile application on sunlights, right? If the text blends into the background, it's became unreadable. So these might, seems like small problems, but they create big issues.
Yeah, and good things to look out for. So definitely appreciate those. I think a lot of times, as researchers, as designers, right, as we kind of build our products, we don't always know the device type that a user of our system or experience or services is going to be on, right? What type of phone they have, the screen size of the phone, is the phone old versus new? What kind of laptop device are they on? So, how do designers, right, kind of prepare for that? Should they be testing things on as many devices that they can get their hands on, or are there some, again, some kind of like universal standards that they could look to that might kind of alleviate that issue?
At Perficient, we focus on catching accessibility issues early during the design and development stage, not after, everything is built. So this helps us to make sure the final product works well for as many people as possible. So some of the common problems, like I mentioned earlier, like small text size, right, or missing labels on forms, or no image description. These issues, can be avoided when accessibility is considered from very, very beginning. So that's why we encourage our clients to plan for accessibility earlier, like using readable fonts, strong color contrast, and large target size, and semantic HTML. So we also suggest testing often, not just end using the real assistive technologies like screen readers and keyboard navigation. So this way, we help and create digital experience for all users on both an mobile side.
Yeah, and Perficient has been really a great partner of Userlytics, and we've worked on a lot of different projects as partner organizations. I'm interested if you have any maybe like real life examples of maybe clients that you work with or projects that you worked on where like accessibility was key and really kind of made the difference for both yourself as a team, right, but more importantly, kind of that end client.
Yes, I would like to have you to share a real life example. We recently worked with a large healthcare company that serve, range of users, including Medicare members, caregivers, and patients, with disabilities. So our team redesigned and improved the accessibility of their payment system on the member portal. And for both native platforms using iOS, Android, and tablets. So our goal was to improve accessibility across all of the channels. So in healthcare, as the users, include older adults and people with visual impairments and user with maybe limited mobility. So making the, experience accessible wasn't, optional on this part, right? It's really essential. So our work is just I test all the system using screen reader, keyboard navigation, and real mobile devices. And during testing time, we identified and helped how to fix several common issues, like missing labels on form fields or small touch targets or low color, contrast. And then, Medicare users, share how they were finally, able to reveal their health benefits and they complete their payment independently. They always need help and supports, right? That kind of, feedback just show us how accessibility isn't just about, following the rules. It's about giving people real independence and equal access to essential services. That's moment truly highlighted, and I think really great example, how accessible design benefits for everyone.
Yeah, I think it's a very cool example, and I love kind of that healthcare space and how you've kind of related it to that because, as you mentioned, right, a lot of the population, especially here in the U.S., is aging fast, right? And in general, maybe some older people tend to have maybe more needs on the accessibility front. So I think it's a very cool example. Gulen, you're out there, you're in the trenches, you're in the accessibility trenches on a day-to-day basis. When you're working with clients, are they normally coming to you and say, "Hey, we need better accessibility," or is this something that Perficient is really pushing towards their client and maybe not so much like something that the client is even aware of? Interested to hear your thoughts.
At Perficient, normally we work with application modernization team, and it's really work closely with our clients. So first, we start thinking about accessibility, right? From the beginning of the project, not the end. So during the planning phase, we start by reviewing clients' requirements, and we ask, you know, who are we designing for? So that's include people with disabilities, older adults, or anyone who might face temporary issues, right? So we collaborate with UX designer to review wireframes and their Figma files for accessibility concerns. Also, we participate in backlog and grooming session to ensure accessibility requirements are included in each of the user stories. So we work really, you know, close with developers, business teams, sometimes solution architects to make sure accessibility is considered every phase. For example, you know, we check early mockups for like color contrast and font size and touch target size for on mobile. That's why, you know, we make sure the final product is not, you know, accessible, but also, you know, more user friendly for everyone.
Well, I think if I get any key point kind of out of our conversation today would be start the accessibility testing and kind of just being aware of it and the design early on in the process and not later. So I think that, you know, you've reiterated that a few times, but I love that. I think that's so key. I guess, you know, where can people find you, right? Let's say that someone is interested. Hey, you know, maybe we need someone like a proficient to come in and help us out with that. Where would be a good place for people to connect with you?
If anyone wants me to connect, they can use LinkedIn account under my name. Also, they can visit proficient.com to learn about our accessibility service and process. So
yeah, wonderful. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll link both of those or at least your LinkedIn, I would say, in the landing page as well, just so people have easy access to you if they want. And I guess as kind of we wrap up here, let's say there is someone listening today who is not really started the accessibility journey, right? Maybe they're on their design team or, you know, maybe they're a director or a lead of the team. What would be your recommendation of like where to start, right? So if you're starting from zero, haven't had any thoughts on accessibility, and now you need to go start driving that initiative in your team, where's a good place for them to start?
So my mission is to make sure no one is left out. So please start in the beginning, right? So everyone deserves equal access, no matter their abilities. So yeah, please feel free to connect me or the Proficient team. We are here to support, guide, and, you know, build a more inclusive digital world together.
Well, Gulen, you're certainly a refreshing voice and certainly a needed voice. I'm so glad that we got you on today. I know that your time is short, so I appreciate you kind of, you know, answering all my rapid fire questions today. And thank you so much for joining the pod.
Thank you so much for having me.
All righty, Gulen, when you have a great rest of your day, great rest of your week, and I'm sure we'll be chatting very soon.
Thank you so much, Nate. Bye.
Analytics tells you what. Userlytics tells you why.